okay.
Oh, yeah. You know what that means. The Caster not with us today. He's catching an early Memorial Day, as you do when you're the Michael Jordan of a program like the Michael K Show. But don't worry. Scottie Pippen, and I don't want to go Rodman. Scottie Pippen and Tony Kukoc are here to save the day. You know what I'm saying, Don?
That's right. We're here.
And what a glorious, glorious day it is. Don, the feeling outside, the weather, the vibe as we head into Memorial Day, could it be better?
I wanted to just be outside. We had a function with the kids today, and so my sister-in-law and my nephew were coming. And normally we just, you know, leave the door and they'd come in the house and wait for us to be done. But we were early, waited for them outside, luxuriating in the beautiful weather. Went and got my hair cut and my beard trimmed like a gentleman.
Oh, look at you.
With the doors wide open. Oh, just a tremendous day. Tremendous day. Hopefully this is a sign of what the weekend's going to be like. I know it's not going to be this beautiful, but as long as it stays close to this, I'm good. I'm in.
So, Don, you're like the Jimmy Butler of this show, getting your braids tightened up. But what must be every couple of days. Have you ever seen how gorgeous Jimmy Butler keeps his hair?
Beautiful.
I mean, every day, it's impeccable what this man does. And that's you.
It looked beautiful sitting on the bench from late third quarter for the rest of the game, well, you know, watching the Celtics just pound the heat. And now, all of a sudden, it's a thing. You know what? We had fun with it. It was kind of goofy. Throw it out there. Now it's a thing. It's a full-blown thing with an A. Thang.
All right, and obviously we're going to get to the New York Yankees and the Aaron Boone of it all here in a moment. We're going to talk some Mets as well. Everything's on the table. But, Don, I do have to tell you, what an awesome experience it was last night being at a game in a town like that. And, like, you know, my cousin and I were debating sort of where Boston sits now as a great basketball city. Like, where do you put it in the conversation of absolute best fan bases? It's tough to put it number one on account of the fact that they're not the number one team in the city. Like, at this point, at least according to my cousin who's lived there his whole life, at this moment in time, the Patriots still own the city, right? Left over from the last 20 years.
That will go away. That will fade.
That's what I said. I said, we're almost there, buddy. Belichick will somehow will them to like 7-8 wins the next couple years. Then he'll retire and this thing will be in full rebuild mode. So it won't last long. But still, it was so electric outside the building. And then really quickly, you know, we talked about yesterday, Don, what the likelihood was and what they had to do. What they did yesterday, continuing to do what they did in game four, which is not settle for that first three. It's like almost you could tell, Don, that they'd had a conversation of like, we are not ever taking the first one. We're passing. We're getting shots in rhythm. I'm not saying the Heat need to get Gabe Vincent back, which is sort of crazy words to say considering 3 weeks ago no one even mentioned the name Gabe Vincent. But I don't know that if the Celtics actually keep it together and keep doing what they're supposed to be doing, Don, I don't know that the Heat can beat them if they stick with that. I don't know.
Well, you could not be more thorough in defeating your opponent the last couple of games. These are no flukes. So this can happen. You're getting a sense of this really can happen.
We are in the middle of game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, by the way. But yeah, Don, I don't know that I'm sitting here saying I'd throw down money on the Celtics. Oh, I haven't checked the line yet for Saturday. Have you? What's your prediction for the line Saturday night?
Well, it was one for game four, right?
Yeah, I think it was eight last night.
And it was eight because it went back to Boston.
So it was the Heat minus one for game four, and now the Celtics minus eight. You tell me what you think. What are you feeling here? Back to Miami. The series 3-2.
Two bad losses. Celtics have been good on the road. And a lot has changed since that game four when the Heat were just a 1-point favorite. But I can't imagine the Celtics would be a favorite. Do I go pick them?
Well, you should have kept following the logic you were following because the Celtics were plus one in game four, and then they've been much better the next two games. And that is why the Boston Celtics in Miami tomorrow are 2.5-point favorites.
Yep. There you go. So Now you start to, like what Greeny said about the coin flip and how the overall winning four straight is only a 6% chance, but each individual one's 50-50. It's not 50-50 anymore, Peter. You know, with the Celtics being favored by 2.5, they're saying they've got a better than 50-50 chance of winning Game 6, and they'll have a way better chance than 50-50 to win Game 7. So if you look at it individually, this is how things like this happen, okay? So no matter how they were embarrassed in the first three games, how things looked in Game 3, it doesn't matter. It's all about living in the now. And now they've thumped the Heat twice. They've already proven they can win in Miami. They've already proven they can win on the road in this postseason. And then you get to a Game 7, and the Heat are going to be, oh, my God. You know, in hockey, they talk about that you're going to be, grabbing the sticks. You're just going to be, like, so nervous. Like, forget it. They're going to be so nervous and having to go to Boston to do it. So it'll make for a fun Saturday. And maybe a fun Monday, which could be a euphoric Tuesday for Peter. And then, twofold, because his favorite team would be the first NBA team ever to come back from 3-0 down. And then you're really sticking it to Michael, who didn't even want to give us the time of day when we were trying to formulate it down 3-0. We tried to talk it out, and he would have none of it.
Let's be honest. Michael has not been great at predicting these NBA playoffs. Let's really be real with ourselves. Now, Don, yesterday I did something too. I don't remember the last time, if ever, that I've done it at a game.
Okay.
I'm in the building. All I had with me, all of my jerseys and everything I have was here, was not in my apartment, right? So I wasn't able to get to my jerseys before the game. So I'm just wearing a black long sleeve shirt. And by the way, that was Game Time brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, like Game 6 tomorrow, enjoy Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. I, for the first time in God knows how long, said I'm only wearing a black shirt. I am feeling it. I have been thinking for years. You already know what jersey I would want to get from this team. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any jersey from this era of the Celtics. And I just went into the pro shop and bought an authentic Marcus Smart and threw it on my back last night. Hadn't done that. I don't know if I've ever done it, Don. And I have something interesting to tell you, because I know you're, like me, you do enjoy an authentic jersey.
Yes.
Do you know the NBA has, like, changed the way they do the authentic jersey? They don't have one jersey that's, like, outrageously nicer than the others. Like, the authentic is not, the patches are very minimal. It's not as over the top. And I asked the guy, like, three times. I said, you're sure this is the best one? Because I'm not a replica guy. I cannot get a more real jersey than this. He said, I'm positive this is the one you want. $130.
Hmm.
I was kind of surprised.
That's very surprising. That's one thing to
in
get
the
that.
Arena?
In the arena, you get gouged, right?
And I mean, go buy a Yankee authentic at the stadium and tell me how close to 300 you're getting.
Oh, same thing with go to a Ranger game, get a hockey jersey. Now, there's more heft to a hockey jersey than a basketball jersey.
Well, by the way, but the NHL has also made their authentics a little less, like, sort of robust than the old ones. The patches aren't quite the same. The fight straps aren't quite the same. It's like a little. The leagues have basically all cheapened up their jerseys a little bit, which I guess makes sense considering they want to sell authentics, and they thought in order for us to sell those ones, we have to sell them for $400. Either way, fantastic night as a fan. Let's get into some diamond notes brought to you by London Jewelers. We'll go back to the basketball throughout the day as well. Don, for diamond notes, it was not the outing you were hoping for in a rubber match of this three-game set between the Orioles and the Yankees.
No, and because you've got another team to contend with here. This Baltimore team is good. And what I wanted to see out of Baltimore, if they were really for real, is, all right, now go beat the Yankees. Because even though the Yankees are not in first place, and the Yankees haven't won a championship since 2009, to me, they're still the gold standard for teams to prove that they're good. Going into Yankee Stadium, and how do you play? That's why I said I think Toronto's fugazi. They can't beat the Yankees in a big spot. The Rays have proven they can. Now Baltimore is a newbie. All right, they were good last year, but it was just a fun season. Nobody was expecting anything, and now a good team that has a realistic chance of making the playoffs and maybe competing for a division title here. And they walked into Yankee Stadium and took two out of three, and they took the rubber game. Now, we'll get into the whole strike zone and all that, but they showed you something. Because I think there's a little, it's besides just being good, Peter. And I don't want to exaggerate what the Yankees are. They are what they are. But there's still something about the Yankees. There's still a mystique when you're the newbie trying to prove that you're good. All right, can you go into Yankee Stadium and win big games? Yankees were really good going into that series, right? And I think now you look at Baltimore a lot differently than you did 3 days ago. Dangerous team and just another team that the Yankees probably have to contend with.
Yeah, I think if this series said anything, and Don, even when you just look up at what the Orioles' record is at this point, you know, you can talk about fluky starts to a season, and certainly we've seen it before in baseball, and we've certainly seen teams turn it on in the second half of the season, including the Yankees, including the Mets over the last couple of years. But the Orioles sitting at 16 games over 500 and winning 2 of 3, I think it's you're at the point now where you believe... I don't know if they win the division. I don't know what they do, but the Orioles team's for real. Right. They're not. Yeah. They're not. This isn't an accident.
And you know, early in the season, Peter, back in the day when Baltimore was awful, they'd always give the Yankees a little bit of trouble. So now you add to the fact that they are a really, really good team. It could be kind of scary. Could be a little scary for this team. Also, let's get down to logistics here. The Yankees lost 2 games to Baltimore. And Tampa beat Toronto those 2 days, so now the deficit is back to 7. So when Michael was talking about how fluid it is, hey, we were down 10, now it's 5. Well, now it's 7. You know, so you know, I don't know what Toronto is. They're in last place now. But if it's going to be Baltimore, if it's going to be Tampa, and it's going to be the Yankees battling for position, yeah, you're comfortable to make the playoffs. I still think that. But you know, it's just another impediment to try to see if you can go out there and win this division. It's a very, very good division. I think Toronto will be better in the second half. They just have too much talent there. But still.
Now, that is your Diamond Notes, of course, brought to you by London Jewelers, the engagement experts. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the newest location at the mall at Short Hills. And we get into the, and we keep it going with the Pinstripe Report here and focus in on the Yankees. Pinstripe Report brought to you by Corona. Don, Aaron Boone. Tossed in the 4th inning, arguing balls and strikes. 4th time this season, 2nd time in 4 games that he's been tossed. What was the... Actually, let me go to resident Yankee fan Anthony Pusick. Anthony, producer Anthony, what was the... you're big on Yankee Twitter. What was the scuttlebutt around the... what was the Twitter conversation around the Boone ejection?
Well, everybody seemed to think that that umpire was not great. Now, ump scorecard's a great follow on Twitter. And to be honest, it didn't look like Clark Schmidt was getting all of those borderline strike calls, and that really elevated his pitch count, which, as we've talked about, is not great for the Yankees because their bullpen is so taxed. And he's not a guy that's going to go 110 pitches more often than not. But I'm trying to find it here. Obviously, Boone was upset, and arguing balls and strikes is always a no-no. But, yeah, Edwin Moscoso, I think. Yeah, that's going to end
Moscoso
up being something.
Moscoso is what I would
Moscoso
think.
Moscoso is definitely the better way to say it. He was the umpire. last night, and his overall accuracy was 92 as opposed to the average of 93. His overall consistency was 92 compared to the overall average of 94. He was slightly less accurate on called balls, which I think is where Aaron had the biggest problem, because Clark Schmidt was getting squeezed, and two of the most impactful missed calls came in that top of the 1st inning when Schmidt was up against Henderson, and that inning extended a little bit. So, look, I understand that Aaron's frustrated, and he said he shouldn't have been thrown out. That's 3 times in 10 days now. That's pretty crazy.
How can you not get thrown out? It's automatic. You're arguing balls and strikes.
Well, I think what he meant was he should know better.
Oh, okay.
Than to be thrown out. I mean, it's been 3 times in 10 days, and I think he was on with John Boy earlier in the week and said he's got to be a little more careful. Well, that didn't work out so well. And one of the umps said that he spit on him. Now, he didn't actually spit on him. He was yelling at the ump, and when you yell, sometimes things fly out of your mouth, and that was the instance. But we'll see if anything comes of that. But yeah, just another, and Boone was frustrated, but I will give him credit. He stands up for his players,
that's his job. I mean, that's why he's here. And quickly, we'll continue on the Aaron Boone conversation. But, you know, Vasquez is starting tonight for the Yankees against the Padres. So they've called him up from Scranton Wilkes-Barre. So to make room for him, officially Aaron Hicks released. So that becomes official. Just obviously doing the paperwork there. But That's what Boone's job is. Okay, let's get down to brass tacks here, people, all right? We talk around it. Yeah, but you could say, well, Boone agrees with the analytics. From the, in the analytic world, the Yankees drive the train. You know, where guys bat, all the strategies, all the moves. Boone is here because of his relationship with the players, the way he defends players, and that's kind of his job. And that's why I think the players love him, and that's why I think Yankee fans should be a little bit more excited that he's your manager, because he's all in. I do think sometimes this is a little strategic. Anthony, what was it? They got a hit in the first inning, didn't get another hit till the seventh. So they were a little lethargic, and that's usually what you kind of do when you try to spur the team on is get thrown out. That's kind of an old thing that he does. It's an old-timey baseball thing, which it's really the only sport where it goes on. Peter had a brilliant point.
You ready for it?
Yeah, because we're going to do Point God today, so I think we need the audio of you actually saying it.
Okay.
Because it could win.
All I was saying, we were discussing how ridiculous the manager-umpire fight is. And I would love to hear about this from old-timey baseball fans, all young baseball fans. I'm very curious. When you watch it objectively, it's so ridiculous. The umpire-manager fight is the Major League Baseball equivalent of the hockey fight. It's absolutely dated and ridiculous. And through a modern progressive eye, you're like, wait a second. Why are they screaming and spitting and cursing and kicking dirt? It's completely performative nonsense. I'm not saying this to ridicule Boone. I'm not. I'm saying it more to ridicule baseball. It's just like a silly part of the game, Don, that doesn't really effectively do anything. And it's just like a fight in hockey. They just sort of turn their eye like, well, it's part of the game. But ultimately, it's friggin' ridiculous.
Well, it's only ridiculous if it doesn't work. You know, believe me, if the Yankees had come back, then it would have been a reason. Right? Remember that happened a couple of years ago, and then there's a bunch of savages in the box, and they had T-shirts for it. Listen, when you win, it works. And when it doesn't work, if the Yankees end up losing this series over the weekend in San Diego, it'll be like, all right, well, it was much ado about nothing. But if it spurs the team on and they came back and won the game in the ninth inning, what do you think we talk about today? They must have been spurred on by the fact that Boone. Listen, your point is brilliant about the hockey. Every time there's a hockey fight and the team that wins the fight goes out and scores 30 seconds later, what are they going to say? They really rallied around. They tapped their sticks after the fight. They went out there. They jumped on the ice. They scored the goal. It becomes the catalyst for the comeback, the catalyst for the reason they won the game. And then when the other team scores, I guess it didn't work. That's why it's a great analogy. But this is what Boone is. This is why he's here. You know, I don't have proof of this, and Michael's kind of fought me on it. I think he's kind of come around in recent years, is that I really believe that the reason Joe Girardi's no longer the manager is he didn't give support to Sanchez. He'd call Sanchez out after a pass ball. He would show his frustration in his players in the dugout. The Yankees didn't want that. They wanted a player's manager. They wanted a guy that was going to back these guys that they pay so much money to. And one of the ways you do that, Peter, is getting thrown out of games, supporting them when you feel like they're getting robbed on the field, going out there after every press conference, as painful as it is, to tell you, even though he went 0-for-4 with four strikeouts, it's coming along, Peter. I'm starting to see the swings are better.
But
Stan can strike out 16 consecutive times. He'll stay, he struck out. But did you see that swing? It's coming around. That's what he's here for.
I know, but even that, Don, we talked about this the other day. It doesn't, in terms of it really being effective. Okay, you can argue that the manager losing their mind on some level has this emotional impact on their players. Okay, that is possible. For that to be possible, though, Don, it has to come sporadically. You can't do it every day. It loses its effect. I'm not even going after Boone. Listen, four times this season, you can judge how much you think that is. I think he does it a bit much, but it's cool. I'm not sure. I just know at a certain point, it's no longer effective. And what is effective in a day-to-day way is working the umpires between innings, trying to get a word in whichever way you can. I mean, we talked about it recently with Sid Crosby. Sid Crosby, it's not that he takes dives all the time. It's that every time there's a whistle, he is whispering. He's not screaming. He's talking to the referees all day long. So it's a balance between effectively building relationships with these guys, and then when the moment happens, using it as a motivational tool. But it's not a motivational tool if you do it all the time.
Now, last night, there was real reasons for complaining about the strike zone. And it did look like at times it was bad for both, but it didn't seem like there was any consistency to the strike zone at all. So this could have been the one time where he just really felt like the team was getting robbed, and it had nothing to do with anything but that. But to Boone's point, when they begin to pile up, then it just becomes a little ridiculous. And now you're crying wolf. And now it just, you don't want to become a laughable punchline, getting thrown out as much as you're getting thrown out. But, hey, we'll see. You know, we'll see how, if it didn't obviously do anything for him last night, they end up still losing the game, and we'll see if it moves anything forward. But I just thought it was interesting that we always talk about Boone, you know, he doesn't make the lineup, and Boone isn't the one that makes this decision or that decision. Well, the one thing he's here for are moments like last night, having the support of his players. And you know what? The players do support him for that reason, and I'm sure they appreciated the fact that he had their back last night.
That's the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Corona. Enjoy the finer life of sports. Corona, the official cerveza of Major League Baseball. May enjoy myself a delightful Corona this weekend. Why not?
I love it.
Do you have any big plans, Don, for the memorial?
Not really, no. I mean, Declan's in his parade.
Oh, your nephew.
In his town, my nephew, so we're going to go see that. But otherwise, just kind of luxuriating, and hopefully will be very nice weather. Got a couple of really cool playoff games going on with the Celtics and the Heat, and the Dallas Stars survived last night, so they've got a game on Saturday as well.
You know why the Stars survived? They had not only Ric Flair in the building.
Yeah, how about that?
But Mike Tyson as well, the combo.
Well, I got
probably smoking weed up a storm in the owner's suite.
Oh, I'm sure they went
between the two of them. They both have weed companies. They're both part of the same weed company, Tyson and Flair.
But a little fraud in Flair.
A little. Yeah, the biggest fraud. Listen, I love him. I love him. He will. I've made fun of him to his face for it. If they invite him to speak somewhere or show up, he's putting on the jersey. He doesn't even care. That's his team for that day. That's it. So he's I don't think he even pretends to not be a fraud.
Well, it originally started going back to even like 2002, when the Hurricanes made it to the Stanley Cup final. He was all about going to all the games, because the whole woo, apparently, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm no Ric Flair expert. My brother and him are very close, and we're close to Jace, whatever you want to say. And apparently the whole woo came in a rant in which he said, "I love the Carolina area." And it all kind of went back to that.
Well, that's where he was billed from then.
Yeah.
At that time, he was really based there, because that's where the Jim Crockett Promotions was. So it was home, and that is kind of the home of the woo in that way.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I please give a big happy birthday shout out to my nephew to be, Ethan. Happy birthday, young Ethan. He's in the car with Natalie right now.
Oh, nice.
And love you, bud. Happy birthday. You are in for some fantastic. He's, by the way, Don, hell of a hockey player.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, serious nice hockey player. Or let me say heck of a hockey player, as I should when doing a child shout-out. We have a full bank of phones at 1-800-919-3776. And let's start out with Antonio in New Jersey. Antonio, what up?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
How are you?
Good, man.
Good. I just want to call about Peter's manager and umpire arguments versus the hockey fights. I don't think those are two like-for-like things. I think Peter's completely wrong, and I'm surprised that Don agrees with him on this.
Well, why? Talk to me.
I'll tell you why. Because in hockey, fights, they bring up the spirit, and they reverberate up and down the bench. So, Don, and you agree with this. When hockey becomes as boring as baseball within the game, that's always to the advantage of the team that's up a couple of goals. You want that crowd to be low. You want that bench to be hunched over. Fights bring up the energy throughout the entire stadium on your team, and captains have said after the game, you know, this guy's fight had really brought us up. Like a guy like Ryan Reeves, he made a difference to the Rangers. He woke their asses up when they needed it.
Oh, you don't think
that's the same thing, Antonio?
Now, it didn't last night, but you don't think your manager getting thrown out, showing support for balls and strikes, can't do the same thing? You know how many times managers get thrown out just in hopes
Antonio,
spur the team on?
Don, you just, I mean, Antonio, real quick, literally that's exactly what Don's response was when I said that I think manager arguments are silly. He said the purpose was, in fact, what you just said. He actually believes that is one of the main purposes. It's almost, they're almost in lockstep.
See, because Antonio, there used to be a purpose for it back in the day, but replay and automatically getting thrown out arguing balls and strikes, there's really no strategic reason to do it other than to try to inspire your team. Because you're automatically going to get thrown out of its balls and strikes. And what good is arguing when replay is going to show you whether it was right or wrong anyway? So I just think that it's not always the case. But I think in Aaron Boone, I think he's just trying a team that hadn't had a hit for six innings, trying to get him going. So that's why I think it is apples to apples. I really do. Now, there are times that there's a fight in hockey where it's just two guys that don't, you know, like each other, or there's your star player got hit. But there's also those, what do they call them, the spontaneous fights where it's like, hey, you want to go? You know, we're down 5-0 and we need to do something here. All right, I'll oblige you. Let's go. That's what it is. That's why it's a fair apples to apples comparison.
Back to the phones, we go to Ross in Toms River. What's up, Ross?
Hello.
Hey there, Ross.
What up?
Hey. I'd like to talk about the YES Network and what's going on. I looked at TV today to find out what the Yankees are on, and they're on Apple again. Two days ago, they were on Peacock.
Yeah.
This is getting ridiculous. First of all, you need a smartphone to get those channels. And
no.
Or a smart TV.
No, you don't. Yeah, I mean, you don't need a smartphone. You need a TV.
Yeah, I know.
You could get a Roku stick. You could get an Amazon Fire stick. There are a lot of options, but I get your point. Sorry, keep going, Ross.
Yeah, and it's like, I switched networks when Infinity got rid of the YES Network to Verizon, so I could watch the Yankees. Now it's getting ridiculous. It seems like every other day they're on these other stations.
This week in particular, I'm not going to get mad at you, Ross. I'm not. Because Sunday was on Peacock, Wednesday was on Prime, tonight's on Apple.
Yeah.
So, and it is, I do think it's ridiculous. I get the Prime. They made a deal with Prime. That takes the place of Channel 11. So you go out there and you get Prime. You get to see 30, 35 games, whatever. I get it. But for the handful of times they're on Apple, the one time they might be on Peacock, I'm with you. It's extortion. It's embarrassing. But don't get mad at the Yankees for Apple and for Peacock. Get mad at MLB. Now, the Yankees made the deal with Prime. If you want to get mad about Prime, I don't have a kick coming. But if it's Peacock and it's Apple, then you can be mad at Major League Baseball. I agree.
Yeah, no, I am. And can I make one point about the Knicks?
Okay.
It's Friday.
All right. What do you call it? You think they're going to win with Robinson and OB Toppin and Randall? I don't think so. I think Robinson's so overrated as a defensive player. First of all, he only blocks shots of people that don't see him coming. He can't block anybody's shot one-on-one. They give a head fake. He's up in the air and they're around him and dunking. OB Toppin's so overrated. He has no game, along with, Robinson has no shot. Why don't they get a hold of Ewing and tell him to come to the Garden and teach these guys how to play center?
Hey, listen, Ross, I'll tell you, and thank you for the call. I don't disagree with anything that Ross said. I mean, I think he may have overstated Obi Toppin not having any game. I do think Obi Toppin has some game. I don't think he's what a lot of the Knick faithful think he is. I do think that they tend to overrate him. Mitchell Robinson should not be your guy offensively as a big man. He should be, Don, tell me if you agree, Mitchell Robinson should be a guy that's coming in, grabbing boards, playing defense, and eating up some minutes.
Right.
I don't see him being a legitimate offensive center. I agree with most of what Ross had to say.
Yeah, he's not wrong. And no, they're not going to win. I mean, that's why they need to get another guy. I don't agree with the harshness of the criticism, but his overall point that they're not going to win, as presently constituted, I think that's been proven. That's the first time, Peter, I think that I've ever heard Robinson being eviscerated and his foul shooting not included in the criticism.
Well, he did say shooting. Maybe he was including that.
Maybe.
I was going to say, it's the first time that I've ever heard an older sounding, with all due respect, an older sounding curmudgeonly Yankee fan complaining about streaming seamlessly go into Nick points that were pretty salient.
Right. Well, his streaming points were salient, too.
And they were. No, none of his points were out of bounds. It's just the combo. The combo was surprising.
I do feel it's really become an old man argument. Oh, the person complaining about the apps. He, you know, even when he said about the smartphone, it kind of comes across like, well, they're complaining about the apps because they don't know how to get it. No, they don't want to have to pay for it. And have to pay for three different apps to see one team is obnoxious. You got to get with the program with the Prime. I defended the Yankees for Prime because that's kind of where the industry is going. But when you're asking a baseball fan or a fan of a specific team to now, if they want to watch every game, have to purchase three different apps, I think that's out of line. And I don't care if you're 16 or 116. It's out of line no matter what.
Let's go to Paul in Flushing. What's up, Paul?
Hello, fellas. How are you? Happy Memorial Day.
You too, bud.
Thank you. I want to shift gears and talk about the Rangers.
If go I for it.
For their coaching search.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I kind of think that Chris Drury is probably looking for somebody who's simpatico with him this time around. And two guys, one that you've probably heard rumors about Patrick Waugh perhaps getting an interview. Come back to the National Hockey League. But, Donnie, I was wondering, what do you think of Bob Hartley? Nobody really talks about him, even though he coached both of those guys to Stanley Cup championship. I realize he's been out of the league for a while. He did win, if you want to count it, a championship in the KHL a couple of years ago. But with Waugh, I think the thing about him is he's really, really good at talent evaluating. He's very good at that. But the thing about him is the flip side of him is that spicy French temper of his, if you know what I mean.
This is a guy that almost went after Bruce Boudreau a few years ago when he was coaching. Yeah. He's a little bit too hot-headed, I think, for New York. And also, there hasn't been any real legitimate success with Patrick Waugh as a head coach on the NHL level. Chris Drury can't afford to get this one wrong. Bob Hartley hasn't coached in the NHL in over a decade. So I don't know what's behind there. If you want to go Babcock, if you want to see if Quinville can get clearance, I think the best shot here, and Peter, there's a lot of rumblings that Dubas, the former general manager in Toronto, will take over in Pittsburgh and then let Mike Sullivan go. If that's the case, then Mike Sullivan, to me, should be the number one candidate. If that doesn't happen, then I think it should be Peter Laviolette.
Say that again, Paul.
What's that?
Say it again.
No, I was just wondering, do you think there's any legitimacy to that rumor about Sullivan suddenly becoming free?
Yeah, there's legitimate rumors about that. Larry Brooks reported it. I mean, you're putting two and two together. First, you have to have Dubas take over, and the belief is they'll take Keefe, who is the head coach in Toronto, with him, and then Mike Sullivan would be out. So there's rumors there. Also, Bleacher Report is reporting that Bob Hartley is a candidate in Ottawa. So apparently he does want to come back to the NHL, but I think it's Sullivan, Laviolette. That's where I'm going to go, Peter. I think if Sullivan doesn't become free, I think they'll go with Peter Laviolette, who went to with Stanley Cup. He won a cup in Carolina, went to the Stanley Cup final in Philadelphia, went to a Stanley Cup final in Nashville. That's the guy.
All right, now a little NBA playoff recap on 98.7, driven by Ramsey Mazda, and a couple of the real veterans, the lifeblood of this show, want to weigh in on the basketball last night. Let's go to Big Dick in Manhattan.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, Don. Quickie before we get to basketball. I got a dead or alive.
Nope, here we go. Get it ready. Get the drop ready. Here we go.
Elkie Summer.
Elkie Summer. You got to refresh me on who that is.
Oh, she was a smoke show in the early 60s. She went on the Bob Hope USO tours. Oh, she was great.
All right, but I don't know who she is.
Elkie Summer?
I don't remember. I don't
remember. Okay, well, no,
I'm
going to
say dead.
No, she's still living, about 83, 84 years old.
See, the problem, Richard, is you always keep people that are alive. You don't have anybody.
Okay, all right, okay.
I'm starting to show your hand here. Go ahead, Richard.
Let me just tell you how I was raised. You know, Memorial Day was, I think it was May 30th or the 31st. Now, the way we were raised in my family, we went to the cemetery on Memorial Day, no matter what day it was. It fell on any day of the week. It was either the 30th or 31st. And you memorialized your grandparents, or if, you know, unfortunate if your parents had. And we spent the whole day at the cemetery. To this day, every Sunday, I'm at the cemetery. That's what Memorial Day, when I was a kid growing up.
Well, that sounds like a great time, Richard.
Well, I mean, the priest would come, bless the grave. It was a whole big thing.
Oh, my God. It's like a barbecue.
Well, I thought not that much, but it was a little social, Peter. But anyway, it became more for the memorializing the veterans. But Veterans Day was always for the veterans. Anyway, that's that. Okay, as far as the basketball. Don, we talked about this a couple days ago. ESPN, NBA, they would have been on the hook 9 days, no basketball, if Miami won on Tuesday. So we would have went Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, a Memorial Day weekend without basketball. I don't ever remember that happening. All right. So they got lucky. We got lucky Thursday night. So we have a game Saturday, which is fantastic. It's going to be watched by millions. Can you imagine if Miami loses and Boston wins? How great that'll be Monday night after the weekend. Everybody's cooked out from barbecues or going wherever were all weekend. And you come back. I think it'll be bigger than Bird and Magic back in the 80s. Game 7 in Boston with the history that Boston has, it's going to be fantastic.
Well, what you're going to get, what you'll get, Richard, is you'll get
people
that don't normally watch will now watch because it becomes a thing. Because it's never happened before. And it's only happened once, you know, in baseball. It's happened 4 times in hockey. But
Don,
still,
will it eclipse finals numbers?
It could. I mean, I don't know. I would think they usually try to stay away. Like Memorial Day night, I think, would be a good viewing night. Most people are back. They got to go to work on Tuesday. So they're out to the beach. They do whatever they do. And then, you know, at 8:30 at night, they sit down and they watch maybe history involving an historic franchise in the Boston Celtics. I would think people that normally don't care about basketball will parachute into that to be able to see if they can see history.
More of your phone calls next, 1-800-919-3776. We'll also get to Spike on the other side, who wants to talk about the basketball as well. Apologies, Spike. Richard went 6 or 7 minutes long. That's the NBA playoff recap by Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Oh, yeah. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Oh, yeah, and it's brought to you by Kia. Make your summer special. Visit Kia.com. Kia Movement. That inspires.
Do it.
Don, are you ready for your favorite part of the day?
My favorite part of the day, yes.
Here's a hint. If Michael was here, he'd say, I'm very excited to tell you what I have in my hand right now.
Oh, you were saying that sarcastically. Oh, then it's the Yankee lineup.
It would have happened at 3:10 if Michael was here.
Right.
Right.
No, it would happen as we were in the midst of a really deep conversation about something else that we thought was important. And then Michael would say, stop everything, as if we were getting an alert that maybe the country was at war. But in fact, what it would be is your Yankee starting lineup on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Bigelow Tea and Corona. Ready, Don?
Yes.
Torres leading off, playing second. Judge batting second and playing right. Rizzo playing first, batting third. DJ LeMahieu is playing third and batting cleanup. Harrison Bader Ginsburg playing center and batting fifth. We have Calhoun sixth, DHing. Anthony Volpe playing short, batting seventh. Kiner Falefa playing left field and batting eighth. Tell me how you said this guy's name again, Anthony.
Rorvet.
Yeah, of course. I love Rivet. He's catching and batting ninth. Vasquez on the hill for the New York Yankees tonight. And that is the Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea, a proud supporter of the K-Show and the official hot tea of the New York Yankees. And Corona, enjoy the finer life of sports. Corona, the official cerveza of Major League Baseball.
You give good lineup.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah. Until I got to Rivet. That's an interesting name.
He's the unicorn.
Don, you want to go back to these phone lines?
Please.
1-800-919-3776. I promised we'd get to Spike to talk a little NBA. I know he was psyched about the game last night. Spike, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, let me make one situation on Memorial Day. When I grew up, it was called Decoration Day, and maybe Richard was thinking about that. You decorate, you know, you honored the decorated war veterans and heroes. But no matter what it is, I think it's a solemn day to, you know, put your thoughts aside of anything you're doing for a minute or two and thank those who allow us to do all this nonsense stuff that we do. Here's the way I think about it, Peter. I'm going to do this for you. This is not easy for me. You know, I'm torn. I'm older, so the Celtics are more of an adversary to me watching them growing up. Win every year. Peter, every year. You weren't even born. Every single year they won. And Miami's, you know, also has a spot with me from the Riley days. But be it as it may, I'm going to pull for you because we're friends. And you seem to be experiencing a wonderful opportunity. And I think that you have to be careful of this one thing Eric Spoelstra does. Unbeknownst to nobody, I just picked it up. He isolates Butler on the weak side between the nail, which he knows the middle of the free throw line, and the elbow. And they run on its weak side. So they run three guys off of Butler, which gives Butler three chances. He could either, you know, pump fake, go to the basket, pull up and shoot, or run one of those five or six guys that they have to take a jump shot. Your defense was brilliant at the beginning. When Brown made the two corner threes, I know you were sitting there and you said, that's a great feeling, because he was so wide open off of a couple of passes from Horford. You just embarrassed them last night. The fact that the Celtics, or that the Heat were missing one of their, you know, non-drafted players doesn't come into play. Marcus Smart is still the heart and soul of the Celtic team. So I think it's going to be very close, whether you can go there or not, whatever. You got a lot coming up, getting married and all. I think it's really tight. The fact that the line swung back to 2.5 made sense. But I'll tell you something, from 3-0, you know, there's only so much the Celtics are that much better than the Heat. So they're going to have to win this road game. If they don't win the game, obviously it's over. But if they do win the game, that game 7 that Richard mentioned will be huge. But it's a toss-up to me, but I'll pull for you because we're friends.
Well, Spike, that's very, very nice of you. Warmed my heart. I appreciate the call. Don, a couple of things there to note. One, it's funny that I always hear young. Like, I get Spike hating the Celtics. It's funny to me when young fans hate the Celtics, because I just feel like the Celtics-Knicks, quote, rivalry, it hasn't been meaningful in so long. I mean, I know New York hates Boston. I get it. The Yankees-Red Sox thing for sure. But just for me as a Celtics fan, with all due respect to the Knicks, there are just so many other teams that they've had like really heated battles with over the last third. I mean, really, when you go back to the Bird Celtics in the 80s didn't really deal with the Knicks. Then the Knicks get good in the 90s and the Celtics take a backseat. And then the 2000 run of the Celtics with KG and Paul Pierce, it wasn't really a Knicks thing. It just hasn't been around in a real way, but I certainly get it for older fans. Well, and one point before I forget, Don, about last night's game. I did find it interesting, and we've seen it a couple times throughout the playoffs. When Jimmy Butler, who obviously everyone's been salivating for throughout the playoffs, and with good reason, he's been clutch and awesome. He does have moments when he reminds you why he's not an 82-game superstar. Number one, he never plays 82 games. Okay. But number two, Don, and it happened last night. Even though he didn't play late, he ended up only playing 34 minutes, and of course things got bad late. Don, even when he was playing in a really important game, I don't know how you felt, it didn't feel like he was looking to shoot the ball. I think he shot it 10 times. He just... He has moments when he gives you superstar killer, as we saw, of course, in the first round when he had the most epic game in Miami Heat history. But then he has games down where he just doesn't really play like the superstar. And I thought last night was one of those games.
And you've got to figure, if you're the Celtics, eventually he'll play that game, and that might be your undoing because you don't have any margin for error. But I'm sure there's a lot of Knicks fans that don't have any hatred towards the Celtics, but their dad does, their grandfather does. Maybe it's the whole New York-Boston thing. But I'm with you. They really haven't had any kind of animosity to each other for a long time. But it can happen. It is starting to feel like it could happen. Now, let me ask you this quickly.
I'm going to answer on the other side. I'm going to tease you with it. Go ahead.
All right. As proud as you are of what this team has accomplished, isn't there a PC that says, well, where was this early in the series when we had a real legit chance to win?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.